You have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Joel. Hallelujah. Book of Joel, chapter 1. You got to look in front of your Bible. That's fine. It's a minor prophet of the Old Testament. Don't believe God to touch and minister to us. Amen. I'm going to read the first through the fourth verses. So the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Bethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. God promised us that certain things could happen to our life, but he also promised a restoration. And I will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Oh, hallelujah. A couple of y'all guys ain't honest. I can tell you. Oh, amen. Somebody said, why you do that? I got in the habit of doing it when I was an evangelist, because I'd get to church and watch them sing and worship and get all the way to the preaching, and some of them sitting there like some of y'all are right now. It's hard to preach to people look like they lost their best friend. Amen. So I get you to look at your neighbor, and 9 times out of 10, you'll smile. One fella laughed and got hit recently. I ain't going to say who done it, but his wife's kind of red in the face right now from doing it. Glory. Everybody's looking. Ain't nobody figured it out. You okay, Christy? Glory. Amen. It is just a wondrous thing to be here, church. And listen, I want to talk to you this morning about restoring the years. Isn't it great about our God? You know, you used to have a saying, if you're not there, somebody going to get your blessing. Y'all remember that? That was big in the church of God. That went right along with the devil's been on me all day long. Folks thought it sounded good, so they kept saying it. Can I tell you that God ain't never going to give your blessing to nobody else? You say, wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? If I ain't there, I'll give it away. Yeah, but God takes your blessing, sticks it on a shelf that says undeliverable mail. If you're at a place he can't bless you, he just sticks it on a shelf somewhere. And when you get back to that place where he can bless you, he gets one of the angels say, go back there to the mail room and find all them blessings that I was supposed to pour out into them, and I'm going to give them back to them. Amen. Come on, church, smile at me. You say, wait a minute, church, God doesn't do that. I'm telling you, that's what God just said he's going to do and what I read you this morning. He said, you're going to do things wrong. There's going to be things in your life going to mess you up. It's going to get you away from me. And he said, when that happens, I'm going to send the canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, the locust. They're going to wipe out everything you got going. They're going to make you wish you never was born. But if you come back and you begin to repent, I'm going to restore to you the very years that the locust worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm have eaten. And I'm going to bring them back to your life. And you're going to live in plenty. And you're going to walk in prosperous life. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I got a God that said, I don't care if you messed up, I still love you, and when you come back, I'm going to love you as much this time as I did in the beginning. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Notice something, church. Those of us who take the Bible seriously have a deep conviction that the Christian life is the best life. God's word gives certain promises about living for Jesus. The Christian life is, first of all, a life of light. John 1:4. In him was life, and life was the light of men. I want to be honest with you, church. When you really live for God, you're going to get lit up. Amen. When I was a kid, we used to talk about going and getting lit. Had a different meaning. But it's really the same thing, because I got saved, I got lit up. Hello? Come on, church. Y'all may not have what I got. I got saved. Man, I was working in a midnight shift at a factory there in Tuscaloosa, and I'd go to work, and I was always late. I mean, I never got there on time. My boss would always clock me in so it wouldn't show I showed up late, and I always give him a little something. Wasn't money either. And he acted a mainline. He was getting off of me, so he'd always take care of me. There was one night I didn't even go to work and got paid for it. Because he popped me in, he clocked me out. Next day he said, "Where was you?" I said, "I just didn't make it." He said, "Well, you like got me fired." I said, "Really?" He said, "It's going to cost you more." Hello? I mean, half the time I didn't know I was at work. I'm not proud of that, but that's just the way life was back then. You know, I got saved. Man, life turned around. Things went drastic. I mean, I went from long hair to what I got now. And I had hair back then. I mean, seriously, there was folks come by me at church going, "Where's Ken?" I'd go to work, and these guys would walk over and they'd eyeball me like, "What happened to you?" I didn't know what to tell them. I wasn't anointed with the Holy Ghost yet. I wasn't like some of y'all. I didn't get anointed and appointed and then clam up. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to be that blunt. I had one preacher told me, he said, "My folks loved you, but you sure did irritate them when you got blunt." The Holy Ghost is supposed to give you a witness. You got a witness. It ought to get out every once in a while. Hello? I didn't know nothing about it. I went and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Went back to work that night, and I showed up on time. I mean, it like to blow the man's mind. I come through the door. He said, "Where have you been?" I said, "I've been to the house of God." He said, "Is that a bar?" I said, "No, it's a place where you worship God." He went, "Oh." I go on. I'm this first time I've ever mentioned God to anybody. I've been working there a month since I got saved. Ain't told nobody nothing what's going on in my life. I didn't realize I was armed and dangerous. I was kind of like a fire waiting on somebody to pour gas on it. Next thing you know, one of them messed up and asked me what happened. And I'm sitting there, man, I'm trying to keep him telling me. He said, "You've been acting weird lately. What's wrong with you?" I said, "I got saved." I mean, I got lit up. I didn't know it. I was so messed up on the Holy Ghost, I was drunk. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. I mean, seriously, I had a congregation, about 80 people in a break room, and they got 15 minutes of break time and 30 minutes of food and 2 hours of talking. Get it all in that 15 minutes. Any of y'all been in a break room? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, it was like E.F. Hutton hit the button just as I said, "I got saved." And they're all looking at me, and he said, "You what?" I said, "I got saved." He said, "From what?" I said, "I got saved from myself." He said, "Oh, you got religion?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got that." I said, "You ain't got what I got." Man, I didn't realize I was making him mad. He jerked me around and said, "What you got, big boy?" And he done whipped his little old knife out and popped the end of it out like he finna cut me. I looked at him sort of funny. I said, "I got the Holy Ghost." He said, "What's that?" I said, "I don't know either, but it's great." Amen. I said, "I'm telling you right now, I'm higher than I've ever been, and I'm happier than I've ever been." And I said, "You know what? It's better now than it was this afternoon or tonight when I got filled the first time." And I said, "I feel it right now." Hallelujah. See, you know what, church? You can have a life that is lit up with the power of God, lit up with the Word of God, so you don't have to walk in darkness. You say, "Prove it. Hide the Word of God in your heart. It is a light unto your path that you will not sin against." You don't have to stumble through this world if you'll let God's Word and His Spirit lead you. You can have a life that is a life of light. But I notice this, He also wants you to have everlasting life. John 3:16, one of the misquoted scriptures of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You say, "Well, what's the big deal?" Most people say "shall not." If it said that, then you would never have the opportunity of losing eternal life. But the truth of the matter is, the possibility is there. It's not as easy as some people make it to backslide. Hello? See, I told a guy the other day, he said, "I believe eternal security." I said, "I believe in eternal security. I just believe it ain't something you just get because you just got saved once. You got to want to live right, and if you do, you can live forever without backsliding." I'm sick of Church of God preachers preaching backsliding our folks practicing it. Come on, church. You know, we practice what the preachers preach. You can backslide, and every time you look up, we got folks in the altar praying back through because they think they can't live right. Truth of the matter is, you got to try, but if you do, you can live in Jesus Christ forever and forever and forever. And God intended us to have eternal life. Therefore, we should not perish, but we can have everlasting life, meaning that I can lose it. Come on, some of y'all look at me like, wait a minute, preacher, you can't back that up. Y'all want me to stop and just preach that? Amen. Eternal security is not in this Bible. Never has been in this Bible. Amen. You say, prove it, because the Bible tells me that if you sin, you'd have an advocate with the Father. But it also says, if a man willfully sin, there remaineth no longer a sacrifice for that sin. That's in Scripture. That's black and white. That ain't Ken Stroop, it ain't Church of God. Amen. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. What does that mean? That means if I sin and I got sin in my life that's not confessed, I got to go to the altar, confess that sin, get the blood of Calvary put on it. When I do, then I can have that everlasting life. Could you say amen? Come on, church. He meant, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Notice what David said about unconfessed sin. He said, God will not hear my prayer. Why? Because I've got unconfessed sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that's what the Scripture calls it, that's unconfessed sin, God will not hear my prayer. You say, wait a minute, preacher, why wouldn't God hear your prayer? Because God's more concerned with your eternal destiny and your soul than he is whether or not you're going to get blessed or healed. And therefore, he wants you to repent, get where you can talk to him, then you can talk to him about the problems you got in your life. And we got folks today believe I can live any way I want to and just run to God, God's going to answer my prayer. That is not biblical. He said, keep my commandments. If ye abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be given unto you. But if I'm not abiding in him and his word's not abiding in me, I'm not in a place where I can cry out to him. Oh, that's good preaching. I feel like I run down the front row and amen myself. Oh, hallelujah. But we can have a life that is an everlasting life. But now notice this, you can also have an abundant life. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Church, I used to think I knew what it was to live. I mean, man, I had a life. You know, I get so sick of these people talking. When I got saved, I hated everything I was doing. You know what I used to think about when people said that and I'd go to church? I said, them some dumb people going to that church. They doing stuff they didn't like. Hello? See, I got some of y'all on the run right now because y'all used that as a testimony. I remember when I wasn't saved, I didn't like it. Why did you do it if you didn't like it? I liked it. I was enjoying it till it got control of me. See, some of y'all going, preacher, you're crazy. I'm just being straight up and honest with these kids on this front row and some of y'all that need to listen. You're up there talking about, well, I like what I'm doing. It must not be wrong. Because everybody said they hated what they was doing when it wasn't right. I'm going to tell you something, church. I didn't have a blocker to let me know what I was doing was wrong. Therefore, I didn't realize what I was doing was wrong. I thought it was enjoyable, and I kept doing it because I liked it. Come on, church. Amen. What did Paul say about Demas? He said he has forsaken me, not because he didn't like the world, but because he loved the world. He didn't leave God because he didn't like what he was doing. He went to the world because he got something. He found pleasure in it, and he took off in it, forgot who God was. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We can have a life that is abundant. Now, I know what living really is. It's not waking up with a headache in the morning because I got drunk the night before. It's not living in bondage to drugs and alcohol that control my life and destroyed everything that was going on in my life. It is getting up in the morning with a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. It's going to bed at night with a peace that passes all understanding. It's getting up in the day knowing that no matter what happens today, I got a God who is going to be with me, and I can have that life, and I can have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. Notice also he said I can have a resurrected life. John 11, chapter 25, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know what he said? He said, you believe in me, you ain't got to worry about death. Come on, church. I was teaching the other night on Wednesday night, and I said something about copping an attitude, and I noticed some folks copped one on me while I was saying it. It was like, what in the world? We got to develop an attitude. Y'all don't know what copping means. We got to develop an attitude that it don't matter. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood. If we go in the fire, we might burn, but we ain't going to die. And therefore, King, it don't matter what you're going to do to us. We ain't bowing down because you can't take our life with that fire. You can't do anything to us that God can't deliver us from. And either God brings me out of the fire, I'm going to glory. Either way, I'm winning. And when we get that attitude, I understand I got life and I got it forever. Though I die, I'm going to live in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When we get that attitude, we get a little crazy. Mike Warnke was a satanic priest. He said he remember one time walking across campus, this one Christian guy started witnessing to him. He said, I popped a gun in his gut, said, I'm finna blow your brains out. Said he looked at me and said, well, glory to God. He said, I thought, my God, glory to God. He said, I didn't realize till I got saved, I was his quick ticket to where he was trying to get. Glory. Come on, church, smile. Say, preacher, you want to die? No, I'm not in no hurry, but I ain't afraid of it either. Oh, I got to move on. Notice this. He also wants you to have a life of direction. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about, life direction? John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto me, but unto the Father, but by me. You know what he said? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You understand when God gets in your life, he puts direction in your life. If you will let him, he will lead you, he will guide you, he will take you where you need to go. He'll put you in things to make you a better person. Come on, church. Somebody talking about, well, I'm in trouble, God can't be in this. Can I tell you, sometimes God takes you through a fire because he knows you're going to learn more going through the fire than you'd ever learn going around the furnace. Come on, church. Some of y'all's problems is you keep dodging the furnace when if you go through it, you come out the other side like a tried fire person ready to do something. Come on, church. I don't know about y'all, but a piece of pottery ain't worth a flip till it gets in a flame. Amen. You can make it, let it dry, it's going to crack, it's going to break. But if they stick it in that keel, run it up to about 1,000 degrees or something like that, and it bakes it real hard, that baby becomes something useful. And can I tell you, every once in a while, after God's had us on the potter wheel and worked on us, we need to get tried in the fire and get some direction so God can take us where we need to be to mold us and make us into who we are. Come on, church. See, there's some things you won't learn just by reading a book or hearing somebody talk about it. There are some things you got to go through it to understand it. Come on, church. Some of y'all look at me like, well, preacher, that's dumb. How many of you ever had somebody tell you not to do something, you did it anyway because you didn't think they knew what they was talking about? And then after a while, you realize why they gave you a warning. Oh, come on. Some of y'all look at me like y'all didn't think your daddy was the dumbest fellow on the face of the earth. My daddy used to tell me stuff like, boy, you ought not spend all that money. You're going to need it one day. And I'm like, well, that's dumb. I actually told him this one day. I said, I make more money than you right now. Hello? And I was 18 years old, making more money than my daddy. He was talking about save your money. I said, why? By the time I'm your age, I'll be a multimillionaire. I'm past his age now. I ain't even a multi-thousandaire. Man had more sense than I give him credit for. My daddy passed away, and I like to fail. Just thinking about it. Y'all may not understand how close I got, but my knee bent when my foot went down, and if this knee bends and my weight's on it, I'll see y'all when I hit the floor. Glory. Amen. But I'll never forget, my daddy passed away. I got married before it happened, but I still thought my daddy was kind of dumb. And then all of a sudden, my daddy died. Bills started coming in. Money started going out. It wasn't on the bills. It was just going out. And I couldn't tell where it was going. And y'all ain't never lived like that. But, you know, I had credit card debt up above my eyeballs and over the top of the house. And I owed everybody and their brother. And most of them was maxed. And I'd pray, and I'd get one of them letters saying, we've extended your credit. And I'd say, praise God, God answered my prayer. And then I'd run it on up to the next limit. Y'all ain't know. Oh, come on, don't. Why are y'all getting quiet? I got some of you right now. Ain't I? Then one day I realized, worst thing I could do. God wasn't blessing me when that credit card limit went up. Credit card company was giving me that just to get me deeper in debt. Come on, church. You say, how are you getting that out of this? Because it's good preaching. When I let God start directing me on what I was doing with my finances and where I was going with things in my life, things began to take a turn, because all of a sudden God was involved in what I was doing. And I began to learn that if God's driving the car, I don't need GPS. I ain't got to have OnStar. I got a God that already knows everything is up around the curve and on the other side of the road. And as long as I'm riding with Him, everything's going to be okay. Could you say amen? And church, there are some things I had to learn, because God took me through them to teach me what I know. Some of the stuff I know I didn't get out of a book. I learned from a thing called the School of Hard Knocks. And those things can't be learned any other way. But I learned how to trust in God by learning in places where I didn't have no choice to trust anything but God. When you get to that place where there is no answer and there's nothing else can be done, and then things get turned around, you got to understand it was God and only God. And church, there ain't nothing like being able to look at the history of your life and put your finger on a point in your life saying, now that was God. That had to be God. Without that being God, I ain't got nothing. But can I tell you what's wrong with most Christians? Y'all heard me make this statement, but I'm going to weigh it again. We got a bunch of Christopher Columbus people. They ain't got a clue where they're going. They don't know where they've been when they get back. They just go. See, some of these kids over here know about Christopher Columbus. Some of you older folks need to give you history up. He left Spain thinking he was going to India. He landed in the Caribbean, grabbed some folks, he called them Indians because he thought he was in India. Took them back to Spain, said, I found a shortcut. And now we have a day for him every year because he did what? He discovered America. Ain't never been here. We bad off as he is. He discovered America. Man, he never landed in America. Come on, church. But we got Christians just like him. You ain't got a clue where you're headed. You don't know where you've been if you get back. Just every once in a while something happens, you think, oh, I'm living right. I'm really in God's will. Church, we need to get direction. If everyone in this church was really abiding in the direction of God, it would be a well-oiled machine that would do things for God none of us could even believe. Come on, church. Hey, somebody tell me, they say, preacher, what we need to do? What we need to do is everybody in this building find the will of God for your life. And when that happens, we're going to move this congregation. We're going to move this community. We're going to turn the world upside down. You say, I don't know if it can happen. All those men in the upper room, they started out with 500 and something, got down to 120, but they sold out. They got a vision. And notice what it was said. These are they that have turned the world upside down. It can happen right here in Alabaster if we let God take direction and get a hold of it. I got a God that can do it. Could you say amen? I know some of you's upset. It's bumping the witching hour. Glory. And I ain't even through my introduction. Guess what? You want to hear this whole sermon? Somebody got to come back tonight. But notice this. We can have a life of strength. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Listen to what Daniel tells the children of God. The latter part of that verse is what I want you to hear. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now here you got a guy that came into a country. He's in captivity. He's got three buddies. They hang together. They're born again. Blood-washed children of God, serving God with all their might. They get carried into captivity, and they don't forget who God is while they're in Babylon. They don't go to Babylon and become Babylonians. They go to Babylon and they stay Jews. And next thing you know, they tell him, says, you got to eat this meat. And he goes, no, we can't. He puts a challenge against them. They let him eat turnip greens and he lives better than the ones eating the meat. Next thing you know, you got three boys. He sends out 80. You got to worship or you're going to die. And they say, okay, we'll die, but we ain't worshiping. Next thing you know, they pass a law. You can't pray. What's Daniel do? He goes home and prays over it. He gets on a windowsill where they can see him. Well, why did he do that? Because it's a tradition of the Jews to pray facing Jerusalem. And the only way he could face Jerusalem was get on the windowsill. And he's up there crying out to God. And they see him and go tell the king. And the king throws him in the lion's den. And God gives the lions lockjaw. It's the only way them lions didn't eat him. He gets up the next morning, the king goes down and says, Daniel, ain't it dumb to go call for a fellow you dropped in the lion's den unless you somehow believe he knew what he was talking about when he said, don't worry about me. And the king said, Daniel, are you all right? He said, live long, O king. He's some great pillars in here.
And he gets to the end of the story and he said, they that know their God will be strong and do great things for him. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of us need to get doing some exploits for God. Some of us need to start doing some things for him. Come on, church. Amen. Well, preacher, it's up to you. I'm going to do my part, but I want you to start doing your part. There ain't nothing like getting busy for God and letting God bless you because you're busy for him. Come on, church. Amen. You want to know the greatest thrill ever happened to you as a Christian? Lead somebody to the Lord. If you ever do it one time, you'll become a soul winner for sure, because if it ever happens once, you're going to go after it again, and you will push and push and push to get that feeling one more time. And all you got to do is realize, I can have a life that is strong in God, strong in his power, strong in his might. And church, that's what we're supposed to be, is to have the strength of God that makes us overcomers. I'm not supposed to live in fear. I'm not supposed to live afraid of what's going to happen to me tomorrow or the next day, but I have a God in me that gives me the power to get up in the morning saying, today is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Let come what may. Let the devil take his best shot. I got a God on my side that'll carry me through. I wish there's some way. We may work it out where we can get it up there. I got a little picture. I was going through one of my Bibles in the office this morning and I found it. I got it out of a book somewhere. Stuck it in that Bible just to keep. Every once in a while I get to feeling sorry for myself. Y'all never do that. But things wouldn't be going like I wanted them to, and I'd be feeling something. I'd get that picture and look at it. It's a little old bald-headed dude. I fit that now. He just standing there with his hands in his pocket. Big old demon in front of him. There's a demon standing in front of him with a slingshot. Didn't hit him with it. But right behind him is this angel with a big bazooka pointed down at the demon, and he's standing there going, go ahead, make my day. And every time I'd look at that, I'd say, you know what? I got this big old angel behind me. And any of you demons want some of this? Come on, because you ain't fighting me, because the angels of the Lord encamped around about me. And if they can't handle you, I got a big brother who's going to take up this fight. Come on, church. Hallelujah. I know I got to hurry. We can also have a life of fullness. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in the presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Have a life of reaping. Psalms 126:5-6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping bringeth forth precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Psalms 1, and listen to what he said. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. And what's going to happen to him? He will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that will bring forth fruit in its due season. Can I tell you, when you really get tied into God, you got a life that's going to be flourishing, a life that's going to be moving in his power. And I'm telling you, some of you need to understand there's a harvest coming, and you need to get your tree planted, get deeply rooted in the Word of God, and let God begin to move in your life. And I guarantee you, God has a harvest for you. Could you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But he also wants you to have a life of peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth unto you, but let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Can I tell you, church, that the truth of the matter is, most of us live our days worrying and full of fear about stuff that don't ever happen. Now, I remember when they done my knee surgery back in 91 and they put clamps in it, and I never had clamps. And I went to that doctor and all I could think about was how bad that was going to hurt when they took them clamps out, and I'm laying there and I told that guy, I said, man, can you give me something before you start taking them out? And he said, oh, you don't need it. I said, oh, come on, man. He said, just look at the wall. And I'm standing there looking at the wall, and all of a sudden I said, come on, man, give me something before you take them out. He said, I got all but two of them out. I lost sleep over them stupid clamps and never felt them when they moved. I said, preacher, what's that got to do with me? Some of us are spending our nights worried about stuff we can't do nothing about. We're living in a fear and apprehension of things we got no control over. And, you know, my dad told me one time, said, you don't need worried. He said, 95% of what you worry about ain't going to happen. The other 5%, you couldn't stop it if you wanted to. Just live.
you know, church, we live a life of fear, and it messes up the peace that we're supposed to have of God. You know what Paul said? Be careful for nothing. You know what that means? Don't worry. But we spend our life worrying.
I remember one night, I'm headed home from Missouri. I called it misery. I've been out in misery preaching. And I've been out there, I've had a great week's revival, and I'm fixing to close for y'all to keep looking at your watch. Quit worrying. Listen to the message. Quit worrying. But I left coming home, and it was my practice when I closed revival service, unless there was somewhere close by I was going the next week. My car started home as soon as I got everything loaded in the car. And about 10 that night, I hit the highway, I think it's 55, headed south toward Arkansas. And I'm coming home. And I'm beaming down that road, and, you know, I'd been talking to my buddy that I was preaching revival close by. He and I had been talking about heart problems, and he'd convinced me I had one. Hello? I mean, y'all ain't never had this happen to you, but I'm riding down the road thinking about having a heart attack. And I'm worried about it now. I'm starting to really let it get concerned me. Next thing I know, I get this pain in my arm, and it just shoots down my hand while I'm riding down the road. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm having a heart attack. And then I got spiritual. I ain't going to have this. I ain't accepting this. Y'all heard them preachers preach that, ain't you? That's dumb, ain't it? It's like I said, an ostrich stick his head in the ground because his head in the ground, he can't see nobody, nobody can see him. We got folks for broke checkbooks talking, I'm rich, I'm rich. You broke. Live with it. Come on, church. I'm being real. Some of y'all want to list these guys in this fantasy world. The reason they can live is they got your money. Now mail them some more next week. I ain't never understood why the only way I can get blessed by that guy's ministry is send him my money. Come on, church. You ever notice every time they talk about a seed, it goes in their garden? You can't just plant it in God's garden, but it's got to be in that particular garden. I always thought if I planted seed, as long as it's in good soil, it'd grow me a crop. Come on, church. I'm going to get back to my story. I started, I ain't going to accept this. I ain't going to have no heart attack. And about that time, something inside me said, well, what did your papa die from on the street side? Well, he had a heart attack. What did your daddy die from? Attack. What does your brother half your size just had? Well, he had a heart attack. What did your grandmama on your mama's side die from? Heart attack. By that time, pain went down the left side. I mean, now I'm riding down the road. I hit the brake, pull off the road. I'm having a heart attack now. You couldn't keep me from having it if you wanted to. I'm laying back and say, I started sweating and getting cold and calling me. I mean, I'm starting to have all the symptoms now. I'm dying in misery. Ain't nobody wants to die in misery unless you're from there. And if you're from there, I'm not trying to be, but I'm not from Missouri. I didn't want to die in Missouri. And I mean, it's pouring down rain outside. It's lightning and thunder. And the car's moving with wind, and ain't nobody going by. It's just wind. And all of a sudden, lightning hits, and I look, and I have stopped right beside a stinking graveyard. I mean, it's like there's one out there with my name on it. And it's wonderful. Then I got the inspiration of my lifetime. I said, I've had enough of this junk. I look, and there's this bridge up there. You know, church, one thing about West, you get past the Mississippi, you can't tell how far something is away because it's pretty flat unless you're in the mountains. And I'm sitting there looking at that bridge thinking, I'm going to jump out. This is the way I think sometimes. I'm going to run that bridge. If I'm dying, I'm going to die going. If I get to the bridge, I know I ain't having a heart attack. I jumped out in the rain, took off running. Now, you got to understand this. I got on a football jersey and a baseball cap turned backwards. I got my tennis shoes on, my blue jeans, and I'm beating it down the side of that highway. And I look behind me, and there's a car back there with a door open and the lights on. All I'm thinking is the cops come by, they're going to arrest me for mugging the dude in the car. I get under the bridge, and I'm like, hey, I'm not having a heart attack. But I'm soaking wet.
And I didn't realize I passed 2 mile markers getting that stinking bridge, because I didn't realize it was almost 3 miles to that bridge from my car, and I can barely see it down there with the lights on, the door standing wide open, it pouring down rain. I got back to the car, sat in a wet seat with my feet in a wet floor, drove home. I was sick for 3 weeks with a cold, but I didn't have no heart attack. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I let worry put me in a position I could have killed myself because I was worrying about something. Some of you may not jump out of a car in a rainstorm, but you're giving up on life, and you're giving up on the joy God wants you to have in your life because you're letting the joy of your Lord be stolen by the worries of this life. And God said, I want you to have a life that's a life of peace. You get up in the morning and say, I don't care what happens today, I got God on my side. And when answers aren't enough, there is still Jesus. Oh, stand with me all over the house. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. God, I believe you to reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to your people. Oh, Lord, make us to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Oh, God, have your way. God, have your way. I believe with all my heart that God has put something into my heart for this church. As a corporate body, we need a restoration. We need to move beyond what we've gotten before and realize that's been a stumbling block for years that this church has made it to and stopped. It's time to knock the wall down and move in the presence of God. But for that to happen, we as individuals have got to get to that place where we're not running in cycles and in circles trying to just get by. We've got to understand we may have messed up, but God is a God that'll love us and restore to us everything we lost. God will bring us back where we're supposed to have been if we'd never messed up. We got to get to that place where we understand God didn't intend me to live a life of worry and heartache. He intended me to live a life of joy and peace that can only come in knowing Him, keeping our eyes focused on Him. Right now, the Spirit of God moving in this building. I know it's Sunday morning, but I really believe there's some people of the sound of my voice this morning. Maybe you're willing to say to me, preacher, I know right now I'm not where I need to be with God. I've known God, but I've gone cold and distant. My relationship with God's become a tired friendship. But I want a renewal in Him. I want to draw closer to Him. I want God to move in me with a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. I want to get back to that place. You say, well, preacher, that's not going to happen this morning. It will if you start it. Because the minute you step out headed to Him, I got a God said, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open that door, I'll come in unto him. His desire is to know you in the fullness of His grace. All you got to do is open the door. If there's a partial relationship, it can be healed immediately through the power of God when you say, God, I understand where I am. I want to do something about it. And church, I know it's going to take some of you being honest, but some of you need to open the door between you and God. You need to head down here right now saying, God, I need you to do something in my life. God, I need you to renew in me a joy and a peace that only you can. God, I need you to put something in me that I've lost. God, I need you to put a heart of desire in me that I hadn't had in a long time to read your word and to pray. God, I need that because I want to get restored, God. I want those things I've been missing to come back. I want the miracles I might have bypassed to get real in my life again. It can happen when you open the door between you and God. God bless you. There's some others that ought to be headed this way right now. Church, I know what my God told me to preach to you this morning, and I've been right in line with what He said do. I know there's a God ready to open a door in some of your lives and pour out joy and peace like you hadn't felt in a long time. Amen. Some of you ain't been sleeping good. Can I tell you, if you'll turn it over to God, I got a God that'll let you sleep like you've been on something. Amen. You won't have to have no ambiance. You ain't got to have something else to help you. You just go in and lay down like a baby. You're going to sleep like you hadn't done in a long time if you just open up your heart to God and let Him touch you today. Hallelujah. 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 I'm waiting. I really feel the constraining power of the Spirit right now. There are some of you living in a well of worry.
I mean, you move from one thing to the next, and continually your life is in the downward spiral from what God is trying to do in your life and what you're letting happen. Can I tell you, if you'll open up a door to God, God's going to reverse that spiral and begin to bring you up and begin to work in you and begin to turn some things around for you that only He can do. Amen. If you're here this morning, I'm describing you, I want you to head to this altar right now. Amen. I know it's Sunday morning, but I don't care. I'm here to have church. Amen. I want God to bless somebody. There's some people here this morning that needs deliverance from some things in their life that just keep stealing their joy and stealing their peace. And it's time for us as a church to say, wait a minute, we're tired of this. We're ready to see God do something in us. We're ready to see God do something in a body that's going to get us to that place where we can move on in His glory. Hallelujah. 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 I'm waiting. Hallelujah. God bless you. Some others moving. I'm not going to get in a hurry because I feel the presence of God moving. God's breaking down some walls right here in this building. God is moving some things for some people's lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, some of y'all ought to be calling on God right now because some of y'all know that God's trying to tear down some walls that are thick. Some walls been built up for a long time. God's trying to take them down. And I believe He's going to do it this morning if we just open up to Him. Church, how many of y'all believe God can bless our brothers and sisters this morning? I want you to come get around them. Let's have prayer with them this morning. We're going to believe God, that God's going to knock down some walls. God's going to start put a joy spirit in their heart. God's going to start moving some things in them.